If you would turn with me to Romans 14, I want to just kind of start there, just kind of review some things. But I just want to give you a real reminder that 1 Timothy 1:5 says the goal of the instruction is love. The goal of the instruction is love. Regardless of what the instruction is that's coming forth, the goal must be love. God's goal in our life is always going to be to share love in us, with us, for us, to us. But the goal of His instruction is always going to be made, is love being made manifest in some way, somehow. So His instruction will be releasing love. His instruction will release the capability and the possibility to get there. His instruction comes with it the empowerment to call it forth. That's one of the things about a New Testament prophecy. When you receive a true New Testament prophecy, then it will carry with it the empowerment to fulfill it. When God gives you an instruction, it carries with it an empowerment to fulfill it in your life. Now, I'm using the word empowerment, not enablement. There's a little difference. But there's an empowerment that it comes from His Word being made manifest to us. So anyway, that brings us to this, what we're going to read here first, or Romans 14. Which is verse 17, which is simply this. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We've been talking about a place called Dunn a number of different times. It was a little while back, but I just wanted to review because, see, a place called Dunn will result in righteousness, peace, and joy coming forth in your life. Why? Because the place called Dunn is you're living out of an aspect of the kingdom of God. And so, therefore, the kingdom of God becomes manifest to you. It takes up residence and becomes evident in your heart. When we're living out of a place called done, whatever it is that the Lord has shown you, even though you may not see it in the natural, it's already settled in your heart. In other words, the promise of heaven is already evident in your heart. It's evident in the what He has created in you. When I was reminded of this yesterday, simply because we were having a discussion with somebody, and they began sharing about some things that happened in their life, and I just said, that's basically what you're telling me is you were living out of a place called Dunn. Why? Because they were living, they had a situation with one of their children, and I'll tell you what, children are one of the places where the place called Dunn is really helpful. But one of their children had gone astray in a way, and so because of that, there was a lot of prayer, a lot of effort put forth, but all of a sudden, this something shifted. So something shifted. Because, see, it shifted because, see, they were no longer under stress and duress because of what was going on. They had changed. They are changed. Now, the situation, the circumstance had not changed a bit. But they're no longer under distress. They were no longer under duress because of the situation. Because why? Because the place called done, the promise of God had settled in their heart. And guess what? After the promise of God had settled in their heart, it wasn't too long. It was a number of months later that all of a sudden, after the promise of God was settled down in their heart, the whole situation began to change. And now they're looking at a situation now that is so far removed from what they were before that it's just unbelievable almost, except the fact that God was involved. Because why? Because see, in that moment, in this mama's heart, in that moment when the place called Dunn started showing up, then all of a sudden in this mama's heart, she started living out of the victory. She started living in the place of victory over it. So when we start using that, we live in the place of victory over the circumstance, then it gives it the opportunity for our actions to respond and be different. Our actions and our interactions with the individual, in this case, are going to be different. If one of the things that you're looking for victory over is just your financial situation, then your actions and your interactions with your finance becomes different. If it's a person, it becomes different. If it's a situation, it becomes different. Why? Because we're now able to move from a place that is healed and restored. Because as we move from the place where we're healed and restored, then there's a difference of action coming from our heart. See, done is a place where faith has action. Faith has action. Done is a place where faith is made evident first to you. And then it begins to change your interactions with the situation around you. I remember with one son sitting in a courtroom where he was supposed to be sent away for 20 years. And as a parent, that's one of the things that would just, I mean, there's no describing what that does to you. There's no describing the anguish that those things could cause. But see, the night before, the Lord had visited me. And he had visited Kim too in a separate incident. And we were sitting there in such a peace. I actually felt guilty because I was like, I shouldn't be this peaceful. But there was such a peace, such a calm, and such a certainty that whatever was supposed to happen, whatever the enemy had planned to happen, wasn't going to happen. And it didn't. And it didn't. See, because God was calling us, and we were living already in the place called done. We were living in the assurance of the victory he had already proclaimed. And you know what? We haven't stopped living in that place regarding those circumstances in his life. It's been amazing what God has done through that. Because see, now instead of me trying to do everything by my own strength, I'm able to just know that God's got it. I don't have to go and twist his arm. I don't have to make manifest, and I don't have to get into the old Chuck, which nobody wants to see. I don't have to go get into the old Chuck and try to make something happen. Because see, if I do that, then I've totally blown the whole thing. But see, when the peace of God inhabits, the kingdom of God is inhabiting your heart, because you're living in a place called done, then you don't have to do all those other mechanisms anymore. Does that make sense? Okay. See, so what it causes us to do is see from heaven's perspective. When we live in a place called done, it causes us to see from heaven's perspective. A change of perspective will release a change of circumstance. A change of perspective will release a change of emotion. I'm no longer stuck in distress. Now I'm free to walk in what he's called me to be. In the natural, I'll give you a natural example of it. In the natural, when I was working for a company called General Automation, I was in charge of 22 states, all through the heartland of America, from here to Minnesota and Indiana and all the way to Mississippi and everything in between. So all those, in those 22 states, if anything went wrong with any piece of equipment, that someone there in the local place couldn't fix, it was my job to make sure it got fixed. Now, the first time I went out on this, on the job, I went out and, on the plane, you're sitting there and you're wondering, is this thing fixable? Can I fix it? What if I don't fix it? What then? Am I fired if I don't fix it? See, all these things were coming up and were going through my mind. But see, what all of that was simply the enemy trying to have his way. Now, I wasn't even a Christian in that point in time in my life. I didn't have any faith or anything like else. All of a sudden, I remember I'm sitting on that plane and all those thoughts are going through my mind. And all of a sudden, it just dawns on me. If someone else could have fixed it, they wouldn't be calling for me. So the worst I can do is only do what somebody else already did. That's the worst. That's the downside. And then I began to understand something that I did not understand until that moment, was that when they called me, when someone else couldn't fix it and I'm responsible for fixing it, they weren't dealing with just me. Because, see, I can make a simple phone call, and all of the resources of General Automation stood behind me to fulfill this task. If I wanted them just to ship a complete new machine, they would ship a complete new machine. So it is when we're setting up against whatever it is that the enemy is trying to push up against with us. We have all the resources of heaven behind us. That's what Jesus found so amazing about the centurion's testimony. Because, see, the centurion knew when he was standing there, it wasn't just him standing there. It wasn't his 100 guys that were with him that were standing there. It was all of Rome would back him up in whatever tasks they sent him to do. And in the same way, as I stood here for this company, then all I knew that all of General Automation was available to take care of this task. Any resource I needed from the field, any advice that I needed, any parts that I needed, whatever. And so in that moment, I understood the worst I could possibly do was to not do anything good for it. I also understood I no longer had the pressure by myself. See, when you're working from the place called done, you no longer are under the pressure by yourself. Because when God has settled something in your heart, you're looking at it from heaven's perspective, then God is with you to deal with the situation. He's with you, and you no longer have to shoulder the whole pressure on your own. He's not requiring you to take all that pressure. He didn't actually require you to take any of the pressure. Guess who required you to take the pressure? We all did. We all did. I'm going to throw all of you in the bunch with me, because I ain't doing this by myself. We all took pressure that we didn't have to. Now, the good thing is, once I made that decision, once I made that observation, I never failed. Every single one that I went to was fixed when I left. And actually, as it turns out, most of the situations were not fixed because they were working on the wrong thing. See, how many times are we observe something and we're busy trying to work at it, but we're actually working on the wrong thing? Because if we're not looking and working at it from the root, when we're just simply looking at the fruit, we're never going to resolve the problem. We're simply trying to take care of the fruit instead of looking for what is the root. And when the root comes out, the fruit goes with it. Well, what do you mean? Well, back to my general automation example. There was one that was in, actually, it was less than 90 miles from the corporate office. It wasn't even in my territory, but everybody else had already been there and failed. And these people were fixing to chunk us all out the door. And, you know, they had one of our biggest, they had basically our biggest, baddest machine that we offered at that point in time. And so it was a cornerstone account. And we're fixing to get chunked out the door because basically if I don't fix it, they're sending all of it back. Because everybody else, all the factory reps had already been there. So I go into this account and I look at the machine and I find a few minor things wrong with the machine. There's some jumper settings wrong, but that's not the cause of the problem. And so I'm looking at it and I'm investigating and I began to investigate what I had found to be the problem most of the time, root issues. In this case, the root issue was the power. See, in those days, computers were very, very suspect to the environmental elements that were, and particularly in power. And when I looked at the ground line was a dark green going up into the conduit. When I got to the other end of the conduit, this line, which is supposed to be one solid continuous line, no breaks, no opens, no nothing, was a dark green at the other end. Now, it didn't change colors by going through that conduit. So what did I do? So I just, on the front end, I just tugged on it, and all 2 feet of it came out of the conduit. The electrician had never ever grounded it. Matter of fact, they had, knowing what the requirements were, they had not only not grounded it, but they had hidden the fact that they didn't ground it. Fixing that little simple environmental issue, going to the root of the problem, resolved the whole problem. So the reason that everybody else could not fix the machine is because the machine wasn't broken. Now, in the midst of their messing with it, they had changed some jumpers and stuff, which made the problem a little bit more obscure because we had created some other issues, but the machine itself was never broken. The environment was broken. And as long as they continued to look at just the machine and never looked at the root issue, which was the environment, they were never, ever going to fix it. See, when we're looking and we're working from the place called done, when heaven begins to set up a truth in our heart and we can sit in that truth, now we can look for the real issue, the real root issue that the enemy has over our life there. Because as we begin to see and look for the real root issue, we can actually come to a place of healing. As we begin to look for the real root issue, we can begin to come into a place where God has able to make it known to us what actually is going on. But see, first, sometimes we have to come to a place where we've entered into what it says the kingdom of God is. Righteousness, peace, and joy. When righteousness, peace, and joy are showing up in our life, that's because there's something where we've already assigned and we've already begun to assimilate the whole kingdom of God for our life because we're living in a place called done. When done shows up, it allows us to look for the issue, the real issue. When done shows up, we're able to go beyond our own strength. Because now we're being empowered by heaven. Not just our own emotion. I'll be honest with you. I can't really recall a time when my emotion solved much. There was a couple times that I thought it did, but I was wrong. Because see, the only way I ever thought the emotion solved anything was when you let the anger out and you just blasted everything around you and you cleared the landscape, so to speak. Well, what that did, all that did was cause new things to grow up that weren't even there in the first place. Yeah, you torched it for a little while because everybody got afraid to deal with you, but you didn't actually fix any problems. I don't know why I got here. That's so far off of where I was. But it's honest, okay? So righteousness, peace, and joy. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Those are fruits that God is creating in our life. When we're operating in a place called done, there's something that's going to be in our heart, and it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy. There's going to be a joy because even though our circumstance may look exactly like it did, we're not living in our circumstance anymore. We're living in the place called done. We're living in what the Father has already promised you. And when we're living in the place that the Father promised you, that begins to create ripples on the pond that change the circumstance. I don't have to dig into my bag of defense mechanisms anymore when I'm living in a place called done. You know, those things like denial. I don't have to do that. The things like displacement, you know, moving your issue onto somebody else. You've never done that. I know you've never done that. There's ever different things that we do. We don't have to rely on those. Why? Because we're already settled and anchored. The word is to be an anchor in our heart. Whether that word is the Logos word or a Rhema word that we receive from God, it's an anchor in our heart. It's an anchor in our soul. And when it becomes an anchor in our soul, it causes our emotion to be different. It causes us to see from heaven's perspective. It causes us to react from heaven's perspective. We talked about last week that, maybe it was last week, maybe it was week before. But if we don't see it in Jesus' life, why is it in ours? And I don't have to look at anybody out here because I can just look here in the mirror and ask myself the same question. Because see, whatever it is that we see him doing, those are the things that are who we really are created to be. Those are the characteristics of who he has created in you. Those are the character sets that he's already instilled in you. When you're living in a place called done, those things will come forth. Those things will be made evident both to you and through you. Yes. Through you. Tina the other night said something about a journey. See, when you're on the journey of life, there was a lot of things that she said there. Those aren't the things that I'm wanting to repeat here at the moment. But when you're on, where every one of us is in a journey. Every one of us is going from one place, one station in your life to another. We're going somewhere with our life. Now, we're going there either intentionally or unintentionally. You know, destiny is going to happen. The question is whether or not you're going to engage it. Are you going to be intentional about it? Destiny could be something that God ordained or what you just settled for. So what we want to do is we want to engage it intentionally. We want to engage it by engaging God. But what we have to begin to recognize is that sometimes in our journey, we encounter situations and circumstances that put a burden on us that was never ours. Most of the time that when we're carrying a burden in something, it was never supposed to be. It was never a God-ordained thing. Most of the burdens that we carry were put on us by some circumstance, some situation, or some person that was out of the line of what God intended. And when that happens, when someone else that's close to you is out of line, guess what? It's going to have an effect in your life if you don't recognize it properly. It doesn't mean that you avoid everybody who doesn't have it all together, because if you avoid everybody who doesn't have it all together, you've got no one else to be with. The point is for us to engage it in a healthy way, to engage it from a perspective of done, to engage it from the perspective that God has already created in your heart, to engage it from the perspective of what heaven would do in this same circumstance. Because as we engage from a heavenly perspective, as we engage it, then we can recognize that this burden is not mine. Sometimes things become so familiar to us, we just receive them without thinking about it. If you've been rejected, and you've been rejected over and over, and you all you can remember from your grade school years was being rejected, then guess what? We tend to actually attract more rejection until we begin to recognize this thing that's happening is not me. It's not who God created me to be. Now that gives you the opportunity to allow God to minister His truth in your heart, because God is always with you. And if He's not rejecting you, there's no reason for anybody else to reject you. And their rejection, most of the time, was not about you. It was really more about some fear that was in them. Sometimes we're bearing burdens because they've been put on us generationally. Go with me to Matthew 11. Let's just start in verse 25. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent, and thou didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in thy sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son wills to reveal Him. He goes on, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my load is light. My yoke is easy and my load is light. So here we hear this, come to me all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we think about all those poor people who were having to carry such loads, and then their burden of the day, and they're working by the sweat of the brow, and all these things that were happening, but that's not what he's actually referring to. Now, if you're carrying a burden like that, and you're working hard manual labor, that's good, because he will bring healing to you over those things. But that's not what he's referring to. What he's referring to is the burden of the law, something that had been handed to them generationally. He said, well, how do you know that, Pastor Chuck? Because if you look at Acts 15:10, is that the right scripture? I think so. Yeah. Acts 15:10 says this. See, they're discussing, this is the council that was happening in Jerusalem, and they're discussing, what do we do with these Gentiles? They're getting saved. And what should we prescribe for them now that they're saved? What should they be entering into? Which, thankfully, for all of us in this room, I think, they had an answer. Verse 10 says, "Now, therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the necks of the disciples a yoke which we neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear?" The law, as they understood it, was a yoke that not any of them were able to bear up. This, no one could perfectly do the law. There was only one who was able to perfectly do the law, and that was Jesus, so that he could set you free from it. They were trying to bear up under a load, something that had been put on them generationally. It was put on them to demonstrate the nature of God. It was also put on them so that they could begin to understand their need for the Savior. And as the Savior came forth, then this he was able to do and relieve them of this burden. But what he's telling them right here in Matthew 10, 11 was that I have come to give you rest. I have come to give you a new way to enter in with the Father, because no one can know the Father unless I reveal him to you. No one can know the Father unless I show him to you. And that's what I'm here to do, so that you can know the Father and so that you can enter into this thing that I have for you, this thing that I'm setting up, because it's the Father's will for you to be with him. And generation after generation has done it another way. They've tried to come to me with the blood of bulls and the blood of goats. They've tried to come to me with sacrifices and grain offerings, but that's not what I'm looking for. That was never the Father's intention. That was only a temporary way till we could get to the place the Savior came. And he said, "Now I'm here, and I've come to remove the burden, the yoke of oppression that these things represented. I've come to remove from you the yoke of repression and oppression, because that yoke was not able to be borne by anyone." He says, "Now, in comparison, my burden is light. My yoke is easy." Why? Because now I'm establishing something for you that all you have to do is come into agreement with me. And we call that thing of agreement faith. When our agreement comes forth with him about who he is and about his relationship with the Father, when we come into agreement in that place of faith, now that burden of the old way is removed, and we got a new entrance into who he is. We have a new ability now to live in a place called done, because see, he's established in us a truth that supersedes all the things that have been done by generations of people. There were a few. You can see it in the testimonies of David. You can see it in the testimony of Moses and others that managed to find God in a very similar way to what we do. But that was the exception. Now God has made it the rule. He's made it available for us to come to him. He's made it available for us to live in a way that truly begins to look like he does. Because the most important thing for us to look like he does is in our relationship with the Father. When we begin to look like our Heavenly Father, when we begin to look like Jesus, when we begin to understand it and have those character identities within our heart, that's a place called done. It's a place where we can have a definite understanding now of our mission and our purpose. It's where we can begin to see how much God is with us. See, God is with us whether we understand it or not. God is with us every moment of every day. The Father is already, He's interested in your life. He's calling, He's interceding through Jesus for your life. He's interceding for the things that are going on around you. He's wanting to make Himself evident to you. Sometimes we just draw a blank on it. See, I can look back at my life and I can see so many times where He was interceding and where He was there for me and I didn't even know it. And I'm going to tell a story, but you guys don't judge me, okay? Yeah, if I introduce it that way, it's already done, right? Okay. But see, there was a time when I was with a friend of mine, actually several friends of mine, and we had two different vehicles, and we were up on this little hill. It was a parkway that went up there in Longview, and then this ended. But there was a dirt road that came off this parkway and went up and on top of this hill. And as it went up and on top of this hill, it was a great place to just go and you party. So we were up there on top of this hill, and we were out there doing all kinds of things that you shouldn't be doing, okay? I'm not making any excuses for that. But as we were doing all these things that you shouldn't be doing, all of a sudden, the reason we were up there was because you could see the cops coming from like almost a mile away. And the cops came. And so we scooped everything off the top of this, off the hood of the car where we were sitting, off of his GTO. We threw it in the back of the GTO. We jump in the GTO and we go off running down this dirt path. And it's not much of a path. I'm not sure even, it's really more like just the ridge of the hill that we followed. And then we turn the lights out and we're still going down this path. And then we rolled down the edge of the path and stopped. And the cops came by and they were searching their lights and we just laid low in the car and they went away eventually. And we got out of the car and we got out and we went out to the back of the car and walked up the hill and walked home, which was several miles. Because we knew that if you drove out of there, it wouldn't really be hard. There's only one way in and one way out, so. And so we figured it, the next morning we figured it, well, it's probably safe to go get the car now. So we actually drove in there to get the car. I picked up my car. We drove back in there. And when we got to the Gerald's car, it was sitting with the nose stuck over a 15-foot ravine. Now, we'd have never known. Totally dark. You couldn't see. We had rolled 3 feet further. We'd have been in the ravine. My life would have been, if there was any more life to it, would have been very, very different. You never know when God's watching out for you. You never know. And see, that should have sparked something in our life, you know, for both of us and go, hey, something just happened here that was kind of supernatural. Maybe we should pay attention to it and do something different with our life. I'm sad to say that that wasn't it. That wasn't the moment. There was a moment, but it wasn't that moment. If you have a moment like that, hopefully no one here listening to me ever has a moment like that. Pay attention. God's in your life. God's in your life. He's looking to make a difference in your life. He's looking to make a difference through your life. But He's always in your life. He's always showing up. It's just a matter of us opening up. As we open up, we can begin to see what He's doing. I remember what I said about judgment. I remember. But the deal is we need to understand God is always with us. And if He's with us in those moments where we're not even doing the right thing, how much more is He with you in the moments when you are doing the right thing? I'm My son went through, going through something, and I spoke to him. And he said, God has been with you in the moments when you weren't even interested in what he had to say in your life. He's shown up in mighty ways. I said, how much more is he going to show up now that you're choosing to do it his way? We all have that opportunity. You know, sometimes we almost think like, well, we got saved and now God's done with me. No, God's just getting started. He's just getting started and he wants to make it evident to you and maybe in more of a supernatural way than you even understood in the first place. That's the nature of our Father. That's the nature of this relationship that he has with you. See, he's had a design for your life from the beginning. He's had a design for your life and he's been calling and drawing you to it from the beginning. Now, all those things that I did were not good, but he has a design for those things and he will use them for the benefit of yourself and someone else. The sad part is there's not many things that somebody can do that I didn't already do. But the good part is I can love you through it. Because if I didn't, who would I be indicting but myself? Right? Hallelujah. So I'll leave that, whatever that was, that there. So what we have here is destiny is coming. Will we be intentional about it? Destiny comes either way. If you understood that whatever is going to happen for you in heaven is going to be a reflection of what you do today, well, how much would it change your today? When we get to heaven, it's set. The things that we could do, we've done. And none of us knows if that's today, tomorrow, or many years from now. I want to live today to make a reflection for that tomorrow. If I live in the place called done where I allow the Lord to settle something in my heart, and if he settles it in my heart, I can live in that place called done, and that sets up my tomorrow. It gives me a freedom from the pain. If I can allow myself to live not just for this moment, but for an eternity, today doesn't seem like that's a big deal. Whatever that pain is today now becomes minuscule when it's compared to eternity. I see so many times. See that whole time period of my life, I was trying to solve a problem based in just an understanding of today. When I was doing all the partying and all those things, I was trying to solve an eternal problem with a very limited understanding of time and destiny. I was trying to address pain in a way that affected me today instead of a way that affected me for eternity. When I allow the Lord to begin to minister in my heart and begin to become real to me, where I could see that his hand was upon me for all this time, now then I could begin to understand that there is an eternity that is involved, and I could look and do the things that line up with that. In a more natural way, when I met Kim, I understood very quickly that this was a person that I wanted to grow old with. And as Some people have said, check. Thank you, Tracy. So as I understood that, but understanding that changed the way that I've done life. Because in the 36 years, it's possible that there were some times that were less than optimal. It's possible that somebody might have been disharmony in the relationship. And that somebody might have been a primary element of that disharmony. And that couldn't have possibly been me. Isn't that funny? But see, when I would look in those moments, I would come back. I always had to come back to this is the person that I want to grow old with. And when I began to recognize that, the nature of the conflict, whatever it was unimportant to my goal. When my goal and my destiny become one and the same, when I'm looking to an eternal life, not just this moment, my actions in the current are much easier to deal with. My emotions in the current are much easier to deal with and turn over to the one who can actually do something with them. I give every credit to Kim because she put up with a lot. I created a lot of disharmony out of my own dysfunction. Together, two people's dysfunction creates a lot of disharmony. But you know what? Those things can actually cause you to grow and mature when you will treat them with respect and treat them with honor, and you look to a greater destiny that may not be in this second, but it could be tomorrow. Hallelujah. Doing those things allowed, that process has allowed me to understand the nature of serving. Because see, that's what love is about. Learning how to serve from a place called done. Learning how to serve from a place of a humility of heart. And in every relationship, it's necessary for us to learn that surrender, because as we learn that surrender is what draws us in to the presence of the Father. It's that surrender and looking to how to serve from a place called done that is the evidence of the love that we have. It's my delight to do these things to serve Kim. Unfortunately, it's her delight to do things that serve me. It's a harmony that happens. All that is an echo of what's available to us from our Heavenly Father. From this relationship with God, a relationship with the living Christ. Because see, he's always shown himself willing to serve, but all we need to do is humble ourselves and be willing to enter into it with him. Hallelujah. Father God's been on the lookout for you. Sometimes when I'm driving, I'm sure everybody was on the lookout for me. But Father God's on the lookout for you. He's drawing near to you. He's calling you to draw near to him. Look, operate from a place that's so saturated in the done. Lord, you've given me a word, and it's done. When it's done, you can't be pulled off of it. When it's done, it will guide all the rest of your steps. Trust him. Trust him. Amen. Amen.